To continue, insert three coins.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving.
The podcast, the 12th man podcast. Yeah, we're back for another week. It's another brilliant intro as well.
Your intros are getting better and better.
Ruth Tobin over there.
Hello.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, I'm alright. Yeah,
you're
alright.
Bit under the weather.
You were constantly under the weather though.
Well, no, I'm not. But this week I am, and
last week probably, and next week.
No, you were sick last week. I'm probably not going to be talking a lot. So we'll see how this goes.
So that's a great input into our audio entertainment. Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, the 12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com, at 12thmanpodcast on the Twitter, or you can go to the Facebook page, and it's all happening there.
It usually does all happen there.
It does all happen there. It's like, I mean, anything that is happening, it's happening there. So get there. So Google it, and like us, and you'll get updates and things, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
They're good things. Well, we've started with a question last, what, four weeks, probably now, to this stage?
Yeah.
And I said last week has become a bit of a tradition, so we might as well keep it up, you know, the fans are loving it. Can't get enough of it. They're chanting from the terraces. This week, thought we'd mix it up a bit different. Colin Murray, who's the host of Match of the Day too, he's set to step down as well. He's set to leave his role as
sacked.
Match.
Yeah, he's battered out of there.
But he won't be leaving until the end of the season. So he's set to step down at the end of the season as the host of Match of the Day too. So I'm asking you guys, who would you like to see replace him from the world of football?
Okay, now
Declan Byrne, you look like you're rare.
You have to do your usual thing of explaining that your answer isn't really to this question and then give an answer.
Look, just because you're jealous of all my good answers as opposed to lying in marrow and filleting's hair.
Okay. Hey, yeah, that was a personal highlight for me. And a fine New Year's as well.
Well, when you're ready insulting me, I'd like to finish answering this question. I picked a new presenter, like another sports presenter. I could not have stuck to this question more.
I've obeyed all the questions.
Female Andy Gray. Sue Barker, ladies and gentlemen, from A Question of Sport. She was let go from A Question of Sport.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Back in 2011. Apparently really? For sexist comments she made about Phil the Powerhouse Taylor as he bent down to tie up his shoelace. She said, look at the arse on that. She also said, you could park a bike down there. He might be as thick as two short planks, but I'd but out of the two, I'd give him one. He's useless on the show, but I tell the producers we need him. I like a bit of eye candy, you know.
Allegedly.
So yeah.
This seems bizarre.
So what you'd like to see is Sue Barker in the Match of the Day studio. Match of the Day 2 studio is different. The couches are mixed up a bit. You know, being sexist, you know, having the banter, as they say. Getting on with the lads, you know, making sexist jokes.
You can do like a double team thing, her and Andy Gray. And offend everyone you possibly can. Or Seth Blatter. He'll offend everyone.
Seth Blatter's a pundit? He said he wants to be a pundit when he leaves FIFA.
When he dies.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
He's not leaving FIFA until he dies.
So Sue Barker's your answer.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of that's true, but I'll go with Sue Barker.
If it's true, yes, I want that to happen.
I'll throw this over to you then.
I do like the fact that Freddie Ljungberg likes to offend people in Match of the Day. I think it's something the BBC have to look in themselves and think, we don't offend enough people. Well, definitely not on Match of the Day.
Match of the Two in particular, though.
Yeah.
They do offend me every time Kevin Day comes on.
Kevin Day, definitely don't.
Definitely don't.
Kevin Day,
him and Daniel Sturridge popping and locking just in the studio, just in the background for the whole show.
Maybe they can mix it up completely for next year, do stuff like that, you know. Rotate the presenters.
Like, never mind the Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
Get guest presenters on.
It wasn't
every week.
As good when
yeah, it's terrible.
Host.
Yeah, it's terrible.
How about you, Shane?
Well, I was thinking now, we could go down the old, bring back Keys and Gray, get the lads in, you know, get it into a bit of a, you know, mix the studio up, just have them sitting there and kind of, you know, what would you call them? House coat type things, you know. Gentleman's coat, smoking
like,
pipes,
like the
drinking
ad,
whiskey.
Okay, like the yeah. ad for the
like a
whatever
late
game
kind
was.
Of gentleman's club.
Yeah, and they'd have
you walk in, it's like, oh, hey guys.
They'd have one guest on who they'd kind of just joke.
A soccerette. It's a soccerette. They could have a soccerette from soccerette.
They could have soccerettes, but they could have a guest on who they just slag all the time. I'd be really, like, barely doing the analysis of the match and just have banter.
Yeah, banter.
But really, what I'd like to see is, in the same mould that they have Gary Lineker in, bring in Mike Alone.
Oh,
he won't, because the reason, well, allegedly the reason that Colin Murray's been let go is because he has too much of an opinion. And he doesn't, you know, he upsets people with his opinions, allegedly, within the BBC. Mm. So
Mike, well, basically he upset like Shearer.
Yeah, no, he doesn't let Hansen talk enough. So
Hansen talks a phenomenal amount.
Yeah, no, but for Hansen.
But they could bring in Mike Alone, and he'd be really, really warm. He'd be really safe, and he could just follow on and be next.
What did you think of the game today?
Me and Alan used to play up front together at Newcastle.
Michael, are you going to make any more point there? Well, I'll show you my Twitter feed in a minute. I don't care about Twitter.
I brought this trophy that I won
yeah.
a lot of years ago.
Well, I won loads of trophies when I was at Liverpool.
Aon Insurance. no, he'll, like...
I'm a horse.
I think that's a, I think that's a horrendous idea, really, to be honest. Yeah, I couldn't imagine like anyone... Wouldn't at least like Lineker has a bit of the, you know, like... Michael Owen has that... like, constant tone. And what makes it worse is he only scored his first goal last week. So we're going to have to ask him to retire immediately after scoring.
How long do you reckon Bill O'Hurley would last in the BBC?
RTE presenter Bill O'Hurley, I think that'd be hilarious. It would be hilarious.
Love
but
to see that.
In all honesty, there is one or two good Irish presenters that could
Darren Maloney would
have
be
a go at
but
it.
He's, although he seems to be the main man at RTE now.
Yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines of Shane Keane.
He could make that
who's
good stuff.
Who's that now?
No idea.
Is he host? Has he hosted that one before?
No. Never.
Nothing of note, anyway.
No Audible. I never heard of
Audible. Tiki was
edible. He hasn't produced anything edible. No.
Tiki used to have a radio show.
He made a nice cake before.
I never listened to it.
Yeah.
Brutal.
That's crap.
Heard
anyway,
brutal.
That's
on.
What they'd want. An Irish language presenter. Hector O'Hackagon, or whatever you call him.
Oh, Lord. I'd hate that.
Hector here.
Bouncer.
Tor Hansen Moore striker. Oh, what are you talking about, you gobshite?
Joe, I'd like to see
they're
as
not
well.
Even words.
I'd like to see Barbar.
The guy that cried about Michael Owen.
I'd like that.
What about if Michael Owen was there and Barbara just cried beside him?
Yeah, it would have been brilliant if they, on our special guest, Michael Owen!
Nobody should.
Look at all these trophies.
I'm so emotional as well.
Nobody should cry at you.
No,
there's been no shout for Childs to get the job back.
Well, Mark Chapman has got it.
Yeah. So there you go.
Which is
why there's been no shout.
I don't really know Chapman that well.
He's done... football focus,
final score and something,
and he's
the odd like FA Cup
show.
Game or something like that.
I don't really like him very much. I think he's been on ESPN sometimes as well. Actually.
I don't know how anyone hasn't tossed this one out. Tim Lovejoy, lads,
bring back TJ.
I wouldn't like that.
TL even, sorry.
TL, yeah, bring back L Timmy Lovejoy. He'd be up there, you know, taking off tops and
get him and Helen in. Get the dream team back.
But on match of the day, I basically just make it like three errors.
Dream team.
Make match of the day 2 longer than match of the day 1, and give it all these other like
these
soccer ref, like they'll get surged from because they've been in to just kick a ball around for a while.
Just in the background,
Manny will be stuck there forever, never allowed leave.
Go away.
Mentioned him last week as well.
And Michael Owen will be sitting in the middle of all this, just going, I don't understand. This is a bit bizarre for me.
I'm going to get more England caps. Anyway, let's move on to the football. There was some football on there the weekend. Chelsea played Arsenal. Arsenal lost. Usual stuff there. But they didn't win midweek. They beat West Ham Wednesday night. 5-1.
Very convincing.
Four goals in 10 minutes.
10 goals. Wishing a bit too much.
10 goals, 5-1 we won.
But Chelsea, the Chelsea-Arsenal match of the weekend was 2-1 to Chelsea. It was a really poor start for Arsenal in the game.
Yes.
Chelsea just dominated for the first half.
Then they fell away, as they do. It was fairly
but
standard,
Arsenal,
actually.
Yeah,
I mean, thinking about it, you should have gone, what score is it going to be? Chelsea are going to come on, probably 2 goals. Arsenal are going to fight back a little, but ultimately not win it.
I think if Chelsea had, you know, a bit more firepower in the first half, they could have knocked in 4.
A bit less Torres, you mean? A
bit less Torres.
Yeah. Basically, they did. They took, when did he bring on?
A little more Bath, a little less Torres.
Last 10 minutes he brought on Demba Bath.
A little more action. There you go.
Was it the last? I think it was the last.
It was
pretty on, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still though, I mean, they just didn't have anything up front that was, you know, worthy of being up front.
I have a friend who's a Chelsea supporter, and he wrote, I saw him update something on Twitter or Facebook or something, saying 50 minutes and Torres has literally not done one positive thing. And I was like, man, I miss player cam. I would have actually liked to study that.
I was flicking around on
fan zone. Yeah. That's what we need for Match of the Day 2. Just two fans of like random clubs each week to shout at each other.
They could do the call. Oh, brilliant. 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 Pitch it to them. Pitch it to them. Or we could just do it every week.
You could. Yeah. I'll just go.
Why don't we just do our own football related show every week?
Yeah.
We can record
it on
Sundays or something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not a bad idea.
Mata got the first goal and Lampard got a second, which was a penalty. It was all a bit standard, wasn't it?
What did you think of the penalty? The whole idea of...
The penalty like, itself was nice, but nicely struck penalty.
No, what did you think about the...
The awarding of the
penalty. Yeah, you have to give
the tackling question. It looked to me like he slipped.
He did slip.
But...
You could see why he gave it.
If they're ever going to talk about Bale having pace and falling down over something, that's probably one of those situations where he's not really in the position to kind of stand there and like... withstand being kind of kicked without any sort of falling down. I think he's well in his right to fall over.
Professional footballers should be able to stand up and not fall over. They have to be good at these things,
it should be like Lucasade bottles.
There's another penalty. Because the other penalty was your penalty against Man City during the week, which Koscielny waves, you know, I mean, if you don't do these things, you won't cost yourself as much in these matches. But you give away two penalties in two matches now against two big teams. And like, it's got to cost you in the long run. I mean, because you give these teams these teams chances. I mean, okay, Chelsea were probably the better team, but they might not have scored another goal in the half, and it could have been 1-1. It could have been a good point for Arsenal yet. But instead, a penalty was given for, you know, just stupidity more than anything, really. And then, you know, you can't expect the keeper to save it. I know we said one last week, but when you give a team a chance to score, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially a team like Chelsea, to say, here, have a free goal, basically.
Who was it that scored for Arsenal again?
Walcott
scored after signing his contract.
After signing his contract.
After being
lovely
bad,
finish as well.
But after being terrible all game.
Oh yeah, he wasn't very good.
Very frustrating to me. A player as I've said time and time again, I don't like.
Don't rate.
And I've never said I don't sort of rate. I don't think he's terrible, but I think he's not even close to supposed 100,000 a week and a 3.5 million signing on deal.
He's getting just 25 million over 5 years pretty much, so...
Absolutely not in the slightest bit worth it.
You never know. He's been improving season on season. I mean, he has got 14 goals this season.
Slow improvement, but yeah. I still think overall for a player, like, he's not up to the calibre of player. I mean,
he shouldn't be the top earner in a club like Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fair point, I suppose, yeah. But I mean, 14
but
goals.
But it's done. They've signed him.
Yeah, I mean, 14 goals.
You haven't given him away for free.
Assists. I mean, it's not that bad. It's a pretty good
return.
He has
a good record, but then...
It gets better.
Now that he signed this contract.
Oh, he'd be crap. Like Berbatov when he moved to United. Yeah. He gets his, you know, gets what he wants, and I was like, yeah, not sure anymore. So Arsenal, are they going to get a top four spot?
Oof.
They're around the same spot as Liverpool now.
Who's going to have the balls to say it? You sounded like you were real.
Have you got the stones?
I can see four teams that are more likely to get it.
Okay, well, that's not a very ballsy thing to say.
Therefore, you have to kind of piece these things together and read between the lines, but therefore, Arsenal obviously wouldn't get it.
No, but you can say that four teams could get it ahead of them.
I think are more likely to get it.
Well, we take for granted that United and Chelsea, or say United and City are there, and we take it possibly for granted that Chelsea
probably
would be.
Chelsea, yeah.
You're looking at Tottenham.
I think Spurs is probably better position to get it.
They'll just bottle it like they usually do.
They could do, but I don't know. I think.
I mean, the gap this time last season was 12 points, I think, between the two teams, and now it's only 5.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Wenger's pretty much. Well, he obviously has ruled him out of the title race.
He said this week that
something along the lines of, yes,
we missed a great chance
because United are pretty much uncontended this year to win it.
Hmm.
And it's like.
Well, if you didn't sell our best player to them.
Yeah. And also, you miss a great chance in the sense of, like, yes, there's a spot there, but you're nowhere near filling it.
See,
surely Chelsea or Man City will feel more that they've missed a great chance.
Yeah, you could say that about any club.
Yeah, Swansea.
Swansea could be like, oh, we missed a big chance there. If we had to put in a lot of money into our club.
Well, I mean, teams like Everton and Tottenham, I look and I go, oh, this is our chance to finish second in the table. Or you know, Tottenham, particularly if they just had another striker, they'd probably be doing a lot better than they are. But, I mean, if you've got
still linked with Damião.
Yeah,
I don't understand this one. It's like, why are you waiting until his price is going up and up and up on every season? Why didn't you sign him when he was worth like
12,
three or four million.
They'll ultimately wait like they did with Luis Fabiano till he's like mental and go back to Brazil or something.
Get him! He's
terribly fat.
He's no Adriano though. Or Ronaldo. They're all fat. Take that. Tottenham, we were saying, you know, top four. They went a long way there with a point against Man United. So they beat 4 points against United.
Pretty impressed by
it. It was a pretty poor game.
Yeah,
I mean, it was, the weather was terrible.
Yeah. The weather, the football.
Well, the weather contributed to the poor game.
Tell you what I do enjoy about watching Tottenham now. You know the whole computer generated thing at the start where the players turn around and come out. Tom Huddleston in the cut of his hair is phenomenally funny to look at.
Martin Tyler commented on it on
did he? I couldn't hear.
Sky Sports. He was couldn't hear. I was deaf.
typical.
He said. And they have a lot of options on the bench and a lot of hair on the bench as well. It's particularly in Osu Okoto and Huddleston. I was like, they do have.
The disappointing thing was Okoto came on and he had his hair all braided. It was like, ah, for God's sake! If you're gonna put your hair all puffy like that at the start of the season, keep it.
Their hair is pretty similar at the moment, though. Like, I mean, Huddleston's like,
yeah, but Huddleston let his grow out.
It's kind of afro,
and he let, but Okoto like braided his, and I was like, I give that over. Let that lovely fluffy hair grow. The only thing I enjoy about Okoto's game.
They did have, I think they had Cocker on the bench, and they had Brad Friedland on the bench, who were pretty much, well, Brad Friedland is bald and Cocker's head shaved, so I mean that kind of balances it all out, if you ask me. Anyway, enough about the hair, which was actually not on the running order. Dempsey's dramatic late equaliser.
What was to blame? That penno, like 27 minutes in, that they didn't get.
Well, we'll talk about the penno in a minute, but what about the Hay performance? He flapped at that.
Yeah, there was a few instances where the ball came in and was like, catch it. Don't punch it.
We actually said last week we were kind of defending the Hay when we said he has to make the save first. Yeah. A lot of people wouldn't make the save.
In that instance, though.
Yeah, I think that
you want more
is different.
Commanding.
Yeah.
Especially at Manchester United, you don't get away with that kind of thing. And Gary Neville made that point on Monday Night Football. He said, you know, you have to be confident, you have to be imposing, you have to be demanding of your players as a goalkeeper. And he's not. He doesn't, you know, the way Schmeichel and the way Van der Sar would have worked, you know, the other goalkeepers.
I think we've skipped, that's the problem there, though. Maybe he's not the next goalkeeper.
Well, no, not. Nobody's saying
there's
he
a
is.
Lot of, there's a lot of misses between... Schmeichel and Van der Sar. I mean, if you think of
Roy Carroll,
phenomenal. That's one. There's probably about 10 you could name
Mark
that play between Taibbi, Barthez.
Well, Barthez was okay. He was there at a pretty successful spell.
Yeah, but he was still on and off form. He was commanding in the sense
he was
that he punched Wes Brown in the head. I have a video of that actually. It's so funny.
He's only what? He was
an old Liverpool videotape where Wes Brown gets absolutely clocked by a big giant French fist.
Well, he might not be, but with the money they spent on him, you think, you know, not that they could have, but there was a chance there to buy Neuer at that stage and one or two other keepers that were going around. There was talk even Julio Cesar at that stage, and they went for the young Spanish keeper, and, you know, they don't look, he doesn't look confident enough, and this is the kind of thing, his problem has always been confidence. He'll play really well for a while, but then he'll do something like that and he'll cost them a goal, and you could see, like, again, Gary Neville did the analysis of it, and it was like, not just the goal, but Vidic staring at him, ever staring at him, like, as in, what did you do? Danny Welbeck looking at him. It's quite funny because Danny Welbeck's like, Gary Neville on Monday Night Football, and he's like, he's not looking. Danny Welbeck's not looking at looking at him because he fancies him. He's looking at him because he's angry at him.
thanks for clearing that up there.
Nice clearing it up.
Those Danny Welbeck's bedroom eyes.
You know, he used to look like me in training and us. Yeah,
but he fancies me, not De Gea.
He texts me, look. but it seems to be that De Gea just isn't going to be that keeper, what they seem to try.
I think he's trying almost to be, to go out of his way to show, like, I can do this, look at me. Like, he wants to come out and claim the ball, or he wants to show that he's kind of imposing, whatever, in his area. Whereas, maybe the argument could be that, just play to your strengths, and like, similar to Shea Given, was never very good at coming out and catching the ball, so he just wouldn't do it. He very rarely would actually come out.
Good points.
He'd just stay in his line and say, look, if it comes towards a goal, I'll just stop it.
But he's a very good shot stopper, much like De Gea is a very good shot stopper.
De Gea is a good shot stopper.
If I can add to the good point with a pub point, which was bandied around the pub where I was watching the game, He doesn't have the physical attributes.
If you would like Declan Martin to come to your local pub,
buy me 10 pints. I would, but I don't think he has the physicality to come out.
Yeah,
and
he is really small.
Which is the problem. But like, I mean, other players. I mean, if you think of, for example, say Dan Agger when he came to Liverpool at first, he was very thin and lanky, and he had to bulk up, and that's pretty much what De Gea has to do. And that's you know, a couple of people were saying that when I was with him, like, he's too thin, and apparently Ferguson had told him to go on and put like a stone of weight on because he could use that. He needs to absolutely bulk up so he can come out and he can punch more Wes Browns, basically, is what I'm trying to get at.
It is difficult as a goalkeeper because you might lose some of your agility, jumping ability, agility, and you know, stuff like that. If it's not
very thin looking, though, he just doesn't.
I remember when he moved there, and like, I'd seen him in La Liga. I think we all seen him in the league before, and we kind of knew he's a good goalkeeper. But people said, oh, he's very big, you know, he's an opposing keeper. He's kind of like Schmeichel's. No, he's not. Have you seen him play? He's small, he's agile. He's a bit like maybe Peter Cech, but not nearly as imposing. Like, he's very small. Yeah, he's kind of lanky, you know, kind of more so than anything. Like,
he actually was even lucky throughout the game with Tottenham. He made like two saves. Like, one looked okay, but he made like one or two saves off the foot. You make yourself big and it still counts. He got lucky with one or two that could have easily spun off him.
He went the wrong way at one stage.
So the criticism could be far worse.
Yeah,
really.
That's a good point. Spurs kind of let him off the hook as well. It just continuously having outswinging corners. Like, why?
Why?
The pressure on him.
Put the ball in on top of
him. Put Tom Huddleston on him. He won't get up. Lying underneath. Help.
I think Tottenham overall were a bit, I don't think they were very ambitious. I think there was plenty of chance in the game, when, especially the second half. United, I don't think I had a shot in the second half. I can't remember having a shot.
Not
a very good shot, but I think Tottenham had way more shots yet. But Tottenham were only saying pushing four men forward. Now, okay, it's United, and you don't want to go out and risk everything by pushing loads of men forward, but they're only putting three or four men forward at times. You're like, you know, you're not showing ambition to win the game here. Okay, it's great to get a point against United, but you beat them at Old Trafford. There's a chance you could beat them now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were looking to hit them on the counter attack, and United knew that. That's why they kind of put Phil Jones on Bale, you know, just to follow anyway.
Bale and Lennon were largely ineffective throughout the game.
They were quite quiet, I think. I think Aaron Lennon does a good job of pulling people out of positions and stuff like that. Not like, you'll see a match and he won't score, but he'll play well because he always pulls people out of position with his pace.
Yeah, he's a very, 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 very wide right winger.
Yeah, and he just uses his pace. You know, I think he's been used in a very effective manner there at Thompson.
That's the thing. I mean,
unlike he used to be.
I still don't really fancy him as that great a player, but I think he's used correctly now.
What about as a person, do you fancy him?
He's got those slits in his eyebrows. He's like a dickhead.
I knew you were going to mention him.
Because we all think alike.
They were taken away from Van Persie's goal. It was a nice header.
It was a nice header.
I think it was Kyle Walker who was meant to be marking him and jumped the wrong
way.
That
didn't form.
You used to be a fullback. What was he doing? He was jumping the wrong way, not looking at the ball.
That's pretty much where he's gone wrong there. If I was Gary Neville on Monday Night Football, now I'd say,
face the ball,
look, first things first. You know, you got to be the right way. Second of all, you've got to look at the ball.
But it's weird because he's looking at the cross coming in, but he's lost Van Persie. Now, he's not the man who should be marking Van Persie, in fairness. There should be the centre-back's job, who've been pulled out of position to the other side. But the ball comes in, I think it's cleverly put the ball in, and instead of jumping to try and get it, he turns and jumps at Van Persie. You're like, what? And straight ahead of Van Persie. I think Cesar's position was a bit... Lloris's position was a bit iffy. I know he's come back across the goal, but he does leave a huge space to his post, which I just signalled towards. which nobody can see. But yes, he does leave a big gap on his front post. It's a brilliant header, though.
It falls into the category of the way Jermaine Pennant used to go for headers. And Ryan Babel, like, that they didn't want to win it. They knew they weren't going to win it, so
they kind of jumped
with it to try and put you off, or to look like they're doing something, you know? He's had a big dip in form, Kyle Walker, hasn't he?
Yes.
He kind of, I don't think any of us bought into the hype. I don't think any of us bought into the hype of how great he was. He had a good season, and he needed to keep that up, but he's kind of average at the moment. Looks relatively easy to beat.
Yeah, he has a lot of it's good pace, which is
he's fast and strong. Like, he has the attributes, but he's just
like Nick Richards. It's fast and strong, but it's more for recovery and stuff like that he can get back and make a tackle. But is, you know,
positionally is not very good.
Ideally, you want your right back to win. Ideally, you want any of your players to be able to not make that mistake to have to recover. You know, player like John Terry, he's great at recovering at those last two chances, but ideally you want him to be there intercepting the ball in the first place, much like Carvalho used to do. Use his brain and all that.
Whereas John Terry just used his knob.
And his lion heart.
Three lines on the shirt.
Fergie went a bit of a rant afterwards about the penalty not being given, and that's why they didn't win.
And giving out about the linesman in particular. Yeah. Which, in fairness, linesmen should see that.
Yeah, but he's if you know, Neil Warnock stuff again, where it's like, yeah, but you didn't get that throw in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like 18 minutes into the game, and they scored 10 minutes later. It didn't result in. That's not why you
drew. No, I know.
Plenty
that,
of opportunities. Ferguson's probably still giving it about the time Ashley Williams kicked the ball at Van Persie's head. Like, get over it, and, like, it's your fault that you didn't want to win. Not specifically Ferguson, but it's United's fault. Yeah. They let that game slip away from them.
But, you know,
I do think it was a penalty.
You know, Claire McGallagher was on Sky Sports News, as he is on Monday, former referee, and he said he doesn't think it's a penalty.
He didn't really give
much of an explanation. He says that he thinks, it's understandable when you look at it, he says he thinks that Rooney runs into the back of...
Yeah, there was a certain angle where it looked like that.
Sorry, who made the foul? Was it Walker?
No.
Cabal?
Oh, Cabal was a plane? No, I thought Cabal.
Just throw it in.
Is Cocker playing?
I think Cocker, he was on the bench.
No, was it not Dawson? I'm pretty sure it was Dawson.
Whoever it was, anyway. I can't remember now. Whoever it was, anyway, Dan McGallagher was like, no, Rooney runs into the back of him, and, like, it's not his fault that he falls over. Like, it's not Dawson's fault that
he
falls over.
My argument with that is that Rooney's ahead of him, so he puts his foot behind Rooney, really.
An angle from behind that you can see where it does look like... Rooney, it looks like it's almost two different clips.
Yeah,
because it almost contradicts what's from the other
where
angle.
Where the linesman would see it from is the penalty seeing angle.
But where the ref
opinion.
As Jerry Armstrong would
say. Jerry Armstrong said about 20 minutes ago.
The linesman could come making that call, but the referee who sees it from that kind of, doesn't look like the penalty really, he sees it from that angle, so
doesn't work when you're pointing.
He sees it from the angle behind, where it looks like Rooney kicks.
Not a penalty. And you know, even if the linesman does fly, the referee can overrule and say no.
But I think that's what you'd want to happen. If the linesman thinks it's a foul, you say, here, it's a foul.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think either of them didn't really do anything. No. They kind of just went, play on.
Yeah. And Rooney, you know, had a bit of a freaker with it. There was another moment talking about it earlier, actually, when Scott Parker got fouled late on the game, and he picked up the ball afterwards thinking that it was a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get booked for picking up. When I was watching the match, and I was like, why isn't he get booked? It's a deliberate handball. I know he thinks it's a penalty, but that's a deliberate handball. It's a book. It's like when a player takes off his the referee doesn't want to book them, but he has to. It's the same. You have to apply the letter of the law. He picked the ball. Otherwise, players could just do that anytime. It's like, he didn't. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why he didn't get booked. I was confused by it.
I agree.
Yeah,
genuinely was confused because it was a free kick out to United. That just seems strange. Anyway, Liverpool, like spanking Norwich.
It's about time. Yeah. Yes, we do.
5-0, another.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it after I had to fast forward the little miniature movie they made of Luis Suarez scoring against Norwich.
Yeah,
so I fast forward right on through that, and then got to watch. Pretty happy all round.
Liverpool dominate. Yeah, absolutely dominate. I mean, I don't know what it is when they play Norwich, but they definitely can get the best of them. You know, they know how to play Norwich, which is strange because they've had a different manager now than they did last season. But even last season they were...
Yeah, but is there even something about Norwich against Liverpool where they just don't perform?
A mental thing?
They're just... Like, they were really, really
bad.
It
could be the specific type of player they're unable to deal with.
They did struggle a lot last season against Man City when Man City beat them 6-1, I think, when...
Yeah.
Aguero and Tevez just ripped them apart because they're small, agile players, much like Aguero is, and
Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, Jordan Henderson scored a lovely goal.
He did. Great
goal.
Absolute
That's
sweet strike.
20 million right there.
He did that regularly.
He had a fairly decent game.
Yeah, he's been.
He actually, I remember seeing
up,
him,
but
I saw him winning the ball. I was like, what?
Speaking of, Steven Gerrard flew in with a couple of tackles and dominated that game. Been a while since we've seen that Steven Gerrard. You know, it's the one that...
It'll be a while till we see him again.
Well, we'll see now. Hopefully they'll kick into action a bit. I think it is worth pointing out that... I'm not sure if it could have been Jamie Redknapp or Lawrenson. Because Mark Lawrenson made a point of Lucas's return has let Gerrard move on a bit. But I don't think Gerrard's been that effective up until maybe the last couple of games with that. I think, well, I think it's doing him the world of good to have Lucas in there defending, doing the tough work. But he still, I mean, I'm not sure if it was how long, I think it was about 20 minutes into the game. He flew in with like two tackles where I was like, careful, you're going to get sent off. Don't get sent off.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago that Lucas coming back was an important part because he's going to do the defensive job. But I think when I saw Gerrard was still dropping too deep and he's just not disciplined enough as a player to go and just stay up front. Like, not that, maybe it's not that he's not disciplined, but he wants to do everything for the team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what do you say? You know, like he used to be, but he could run end to end all game when he was much fitter. But now he, you know, I'm not saying he's not fit, but I mean, he's less. Yeah, naturally,
he's no longer as much of a box to box player as he was.
I mean, he has to pick one or the other, and I think he needs to stay as a more attacking player because that's where he's best, and, you know, push up and let Lucas do that job. But maybe he just doesn't trust Lucas, you know, because he does, you know, he was by far the best player there for so many years.
Yeah,
maybe he just doesn't trust him. You know?
Maybe, I suppose it's hard to relinquish that role after you've kind of built up. It's hard to adapt.
So long, yeah.
It's the way Ryan Giggs probably had to adapt to never running again and playing as a centre midfielder.
Ryan Giggs got man of the match against West Ham.
I'll argue that.
Yeah, we spoke about this last.
I was also delighted to see the decent link up between Sturridge and Suarez.
The first goal when Sturridge just let the ball run through his legs.
Second goal.
And Suarez ran out. It was lovely.
Yeah,
lovely. Just to know that
good
he was
instinct.
There.
Yeah,
but there was other instances where they were. Nice little interlinking.
Yeah. Again, Match of the Day showed that they were never rarely
too far apart.
12 yards apart. They were always kind of in it. But that's, I think,
holding hands at one stage.
12 yards apart, big arms. they especially like seeing Sturridge, a new player like that, and we were worried what way that would change. Like, where they were going to put Suarez. we talked about which way they were going to have to move Suarez and all that, and it was pretty much exactly like we said. Suarez played deeper, played it kind of like not exactly a wide role, but played a deeper role, and it allowed, you know, it basically allowed for that second goal where Sturridge was, you know, the focal point, dummied it, and let Suarez run on. Sturridge's finish was, I contest that was a very good finish considering how horribly bounce upish that ball was.
Bouncy would be the word. You're looking for there.
But that doesn't talk about how bounce upish
kind of
it was.
Bobbly.
Bobbly.
Yeah, bobbly. Bobbly pitch. It really did though. You know Downing's first time right footed cross.
Yeah.
And
it's a very nice cross though.
Sturridge almost had to heel it in because the way it bounced, it was like, that's one of those that, you know.
One of those you see Yondell Thomason.
Yeah, one of those Yondell Thomason ones that you get on old goals and gaps.
Stop talking about that.
Never.
Do you have that? Yeah?
I do.
Yeah,
we should watch it later.
No.
We should get a few beers and we should watch it.
And do a podcast on it.
No.
Oh, look, and Yondell Thomas has missed that chance. What's Rory McGrath going to say?
Oh, it's something funny.
Shinji, no. He used to play for Ajax. Terrible miss. Google it. Go on, I dare you to. Go on, get back. Go on. Get onto Twitter and tell us.
What's the name of the defender? Barnett? What is Barnett?
Yeah.
Had an awful game as well. He
scored the
own goal and also got made a fool of pretty much by Sturridge and Suarez. Kind of got destroyed by the most of the game. Yeah. We're hoping it's looking like a better Liverpool.
Liverpool for the top four?
No, I don't want to say that yet. That's too Anfield Mafia, isn't it? They'll start putting up pictures of like,
that's
you know,
where the Rodgers is from.
We haven't signed Coutinho yet. They'll start putting pictures up of him photoshopped into a Liverpool jersey holding a trophy.
Holding the Champions
next to Shankly.
And Nuri signed in the background. Like, you got rid of him. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, we're in midfield. It's great. You have Nuri signed Coutinho. No.
I have a question for you. Coutinho or Ince?
Paul Ince?
No.
Tom Ince.
Paul Ince.
Which one
do you prefer? I don't know. I mean, I've never really seen... I've seen Tom Ince play in the Championship, but I've never seen him play at the top level. I don't think Coutinho is a very good player, to be honest.
He was exciting when he came. When he came out.
Yeah.
That was two years ago. I haven't really noticed much.
I don't know if Liverpool...
If you had to pick one.
For Liverpool?
Yeah.
I'd go for Ince.
Okay, now. Graham or Jones? Danny Graham or Kenwood Jones?
Danny Graham.
Okay.
If only just for that touch for... Yeah, Jonathan de Guzman's second goal. Oh,
because that's who Norwich are in for at the moment, isn't it? Graham and Jones. Or it's Hooper as well.
But they want Hooper, yeah.
So Graham Jones or Hooper?
Hooper.
Depends. Which team are we talking about?
Norwich.
I'd say Hooper, yeah. I mean, he's probably got the best potential there.
Yeah.
Kevin Jones, no.
I could have just made that one up. That one might be wrong, but I'm
Kevin
pretty
Jones
sure.
Kevin Jones, no, Kevin Jones has been linked to Swansea as a replacement for, as a replacement for Danny Graham, which is where the basis of our argument yesterday was, where I was saying that Danny Graham is a far better player.
I don't think that was what we were arguing, though. I think you were arguing that he was a great player.
Oh, okay, I wasn't saying great.
For Swansea.
I said he's a good player. I would say that I don't think they should.
I just want to make it very clear that I'm never on the side of Kenwood Jones. Ever.
Yeah.
You got on the wrong side of Kenwood Jones once, and that was bad.
He bladdered me.
Hit him with a bladder.
Mm. West Ham won, QPR won. Relegation's dogfight.
Is that the next one?
It's because there were 56 crosses or something.
The first three sentences we should say should be about Loic Remy, and then we should say nothing else about him.
Loic Remy,
metaphorically acting out how he played.
He was offside a lot.
He was offside three times, and then he scored,
and then nothing else happened.
Yeah, but it was the exact same move. It was just every time. Every time that they tried it again, he was just slightly less offside. And then he was onside.
Tompkins then stepped out at the worst time. It was like, oh, that's a suicide thing to do.
It's probably one of those things
where... You've played him quite far onside, and then you've stepped out giving yourself about 10 yards to make up.
It's probably one of those things where you just thought, he's been offside loads. Just get him offside again.
Even better was the moment where John Watson said... After he was offside twice. Well, I'll have to get used to that. They have offside in France.
Do they?
I think John Watson just assumes like it's a wasteland out there apart from England.
It's where we send our Joey Bartons of this world.
Oh, Joey Barton doesn't have to deal with that.
I was actually watching a Marseille game and Joey Barton showed up. I was like, Jesus, look at him.
How was he doing?
He didn't get sent
How's
off.
How's he looking? Does he look like Morrissey?
No, he looks a bit more like Joey Barton. To be honest. But he hasn't gotten sent off since he's been in France.
Top stuff.
Yeah.
Like Remy offside.
He's got about 10 fights on the internet since he moved over there, though. Because he can't speak to anyone there, so he's just picking fights in English online.
Like Remy.
12 year
olds. No one fights me in France.
Like Remy played in France there. he was on there for. I mean, he got the goal. He was also. But is football that simple, though? Because QPR and the Marquinhos were just doing nothing. I mean, they're just aimlessly going around. And then Harry Redknapp comes in and says, right, just give the ball to this guy and he's going to pass to the fast guy who's going to run on. Is it that simple? The other nine players on the pitch, their job is to just get...
I think you have to start with the basics. I think that was like the whole idea behind
it. The defense has been a lot better. That's the defense.
But that's because they're doing basic things right again. Yeah. You know, he's fixed it.
But he has
and they don't have... You know, I wouldn't even call these guys luxury players like Cisse and Basingue, like whatever the hell you can call them.
Cisse is gone.
They're
now.
Not. That's what I'm saying. They don't have either of those players now.
Well, Basingue's still there.
Yeah, but not playing, not involved in the squad. You know,
yeah, he's we're really ripping this point apart.
No, yeah, you're not. You keep trying to, but they don't have players like this.
But Cisse's not there anymore.
Esteban Granero.
What about Adel Trabadich now in the bat?
Joe Cole got his first goal back.
He loved that. You went mental.
Well, why not? It's his first goal in 10 years, I think.
At West Ham.
It's probably his first goal in 4-3-2-1.
I don't know. Countdown? It's his first goal.
He scored for Lille a couple of times.
I'm sure he scored for Liverpool. When was the last time he scored for Liverpool?
He scored in the
Europa League
for us a while ago.
It's such a weird thing that... Always hear, like, when a bad player for Liverpool, or who you considered a bad player for ages, scores their first goal. Jordan Henderson scored his first goal of the season, which we spoke about against Norwich. And then the commentator was like, yeah, but he has scored in the Europa League. He's like, has every player in that squad just scored in the Europa League just for the crack?
Dominic Gogg used to be top goal scorer because he's got a few in the Europa League.
It's the worst part about it. I don't know. I don't think we won that many Europa League games.
When did they score so many goals? Apparently, like, why does Stuart Downing? He has like 3 goals in the Europa League. What's going on?
I don't know.
But they did play. They did score 4 or 5 against Young Boys.
But back to West Ham, though. I mean, like, Joe Cole's goal.
Carlton Cole set him up.
Should they have had about 50 of them, like, of that exact goal?
Yeah. Well, Shamak had 2.
You have to pronounce it like John Motson.
No.
Shamak! He freaked out the whole...
He was very excited the whole game.
He really was.
He was up for it.
He loved an old like, he kept saying, oh, it's a classic old English game.
It's
like,
he says it's a London derby.
Yeah. But he made, I mean, it was a poor game. It was exciting because it was like 90 something crosses, yeah. But overall the quality wasn't very good. Shamak, good lord, he missed 4 or 5 decent headers.
I mean, he missed 2 really good. Well, one of them, it's not really his fault. He had to readjust himself. There was no pace in it, and he headed it straight towards Cesar. And another one, Cesar made a really good save down low.
Yeah, Cesar was probably the difference in that game. Yeah.
Cesar actually has been linked with United now.
Oh, that won't
like
happen.
In the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's come in. Replace David De Gea. We'll move on to our transfer speculation later, man. You know, pay yourself. Callum Cole got the assist, you know. You see the man to save West Ham?
Nope.
Andy Carroll is.
There's no need to save West Ham.
That's going to be a phenomenal strike for us. I think we dogged about this already. But when they get the, yeah, Andy Carroll play with Carlton Cole and Shamak playing off him somehow, and the rest of the squad playing off them. So like,
pretty serious. Big cross, he'll be in there as well.
Yeah, just getting rejected.
Big cross to Andy Carroll, who would lay it off to Carlton Cole or Shamak, who would then lay it off to like Noble, yeah, even further behind.
And then Joe Cole score. Or Kevin Nolan.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just picking up rejects from across. Who's next? Like, you know, they pick up a striker that doesn't.
Torres.
Yeah, Torres, good show. Get Torres in there. West Ham tried to get Ryan Bertrand alone today, but they rejected
it. We didn't mention the horrendous tackle by Sean Wright Phillips that, like, I've no idea how West Ham didn't get a penalty for, where he completely, I'm not sure if he saw, he just absolutely forgot to get the ball. Like, just ripped the player down.
I know I'm in here for something.
Oh, you're
not.
Yeah,
I. He did though. I mean, you must wonder if he's mentally ill when you look at something like that. Like,
well, Stas ain't right.
Stepdad.
Probably a something.
Stepdad. Yeah. Or something wrong stepdad. There.
Well, like no, but it was just like, it just seemed farcical at the time when there's like a West Ham player kind of on his way in the box. I think it was like Nelson had stayed with him or something. And then Sean Wright Phillips took it upon himself and be like, oh, don't worry, Ryan Nelson, I'll hack him down for you. Like, no, don't do that.
There you go. You won't be dealing with it.
Very lucky,
anymore.
Though. I don't know how they...
You told me during the Chelsea-Arsenal match that Fernando Torres is mentally ill.
Did I?
Yes.
I better stop using that. I don't mean that in a... I meant that in a more depressed way.
Oh. He did look very scared. He got a haircut and he was very scared. Yeah.
Bad time though. Snow all over the place. Yeah. Short hair. What's he thinking?
Sure, he couldn't kick snow off a rope. What? Yeah. Go on over that. Newcastle Redden.
Terrible Irishness.
Right? Newcastle yeah, losing Newcastle again. Redden winning again.
Bit of trouble, ain't it? Yeah, nice comeback for Redden.
I mean, it was a good point for QPR against West Ham when you look at it, the way the match went. Yeah. Down. But at the end of the day, Redden, who are the team closest to them, have won 2 now. And I mean, it's a good point for QPR last week against Spurs. Yeah, but yeah, when the other team around you have to pick up 6 points in 2 games, it's not very good.
Is there an argument to make that McDermott should probably be sacked now in the same fashion that Atkins was?
Pulling them away from the danger zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we want to get relegated. Sack him. Sack him and bring Chris Hutchins in.
Tell you what I was having none of in that Newcastle Reading game. The 9-man wall. What the hell?
Yeah.
Took
yeah,
most of was, the players on the weird pitch. There was very few left. And the commentator seemed to think it was a 9-man Reading wall. It was like, it's not all Reading players. They'd have 2 apart from that if it was 9 Reading players. But it was ridiculous. Like, hold on, they're sneaking players on the pitch. It's like 20-something
he's
players.
He's still wearing his bib.
Hold on, this one's just made of paper mache.
What are they doing?
It's like the Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah, there's those puppet things. Yeah. There's one person attached to 4 different puppets.
It was bizarre though. I was looking at the wall. I was like, before the commentator said anything, before the free, I was like, what is going on here?
That's what he scored though, yeah.
The goalkeeper, they asked him, how many do you want on the wall? 9. Oh, fuck off. That's too much. It's just ridiculous.
Oh,
I think it was like 7 Reading players and then 2 Newcastle players forced their way and started pushing the shot. And then, even then, with that amount of people, they all broke off and ran the wrong way, and they ended up scoring from it.
It's a very nice free kick as well.
It's really poor for Newcastle, though.
I mean,
that combined free kick was the highlight of the game.
Yeah. But, he was quite good, actually, for
periods. I think what they needed was Cisse to stop trying to volley it.
Yeah.
He likes to volley Cisse.
Although, in fairness, like, you could have had a hat trick, but for Federici. He didn't have any horrendous misses.
Yeah, but there's one or two he should be putting away. There was one particular cross into the box, low cross, that he pretty much just hit at Federici, who was already on the ground at that stage. And he needs to put them away. Just do it properly.
That wasn't a great.
For me, it shows he's a strong, kind of athletic top player, but he doesn't have that instinct the same way that a ball like that in the box and a more skillful player would have dinked it over the keeper.
Yeah.
he put it right at him, trying to finish it low.
Yeah, well, like, he just tried to put his foot on it and didn't really know where it would end up.
Do you think it's possible that he could get relegated again? I mean, Newcastle, this is. I mean, they've been dragged into this mess. I know they've made a lot of signs.
Since that game, they've signed about five French players, so
they could actually field the squad of not a whole French team. The only position they have French player is a goalkeeper, but the rest of the players, you could field the French player.
But surely they have another player who could just hop and go.
Yeah.
Just to get this ridiculous stat.
Overton, get in there.
I think Overton might actually be in that team.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's happened before with a big, good Newcastle team. I mean, they're not spending a lot of money, but
spend 7 years down the championship with Paris with a load of French players. Sounds like a TV show.
A bad TV show. Yeah. But a TV show nevertheless. But I mean, they have been relegated with, you could say, arguably equally a good squad. I mean, and the way they're going, probably doesn't look like he can save it. And he's got such a big deal, it doesn't look like they're going to sack him unless they have to.
Coloccini looks like he's...
I think he's staying in the end. He's staying at the end of the season because San Lorenzo said they're not going to take him anymore, which was the team he was linked
with. There was some ridiculous rumour that he was just going to walk out of the club if they didn't let him move. It's like, I'm pretty sure he can't do that.
Does he have a contract?
Yeah.
Lads, he's forget the whole Tevez thing that happened that dominated most of last year.
Go play for another team, I mean.
Yeah, you can't just walk out.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but
I think Ariel Ortega did that before. I think he just walked out of his contract.
There's a lot of Argentinians doing it.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. Imagine college and he's like, what am I going to do? Because, like, obviously he can't go back to his gaff in Newcastle. His house in Newcastle. Someone will end up calling for him. Just
end up calling for him.
Cut away to a shot of Tevez's doorbell ringing. It was that, I have nowhere to go. I need you to take me in.
And I don't think they...
I brought my golf clubs.
I don't know if they take as much crap in that instance. I think Newcastle just go, right, you're gone. Good luck. I mean, he'd be a huge loss, but he's probably able to stay at least at the end of the season.
And with the defence, they've added one or two defenders to the squad now.
Let's give this a bash. Mapo Yanga
Mue.
With Matthew Debussy, who we know, he's already there.
He played the last game.
Yeah,
I mean, he's already there. Masito Hedera.
Yeah, Hedera.
Hedera.
Never have I helped with pronunciations.
And Johan Gofran.
Gofran, yeah.
Yeah, that's the easy one. I don't really know I don't know much about. I think they're also in for Moses Sissoko, isn't it?
But
I don't think that. I think that's a pre-contract. He comes at the end of the season. I think he's actually available on free at the end of the season.
When they're in the championship,
he shouldn't sign anything.
Which is the same way that when Villa was linked with QPR, it was like, you might get relegated and I don't want to play in the championship. He's gone to
Ruben Kazan.
I mean, it's understandable you guys are going, but like, there's no guarantee that these players are going to be any good. I mean,
They've hardly just. Think they
were. I've heard of him.
It's
been pretty good. I've heard it's been pretty good. Debussy's meant to be very good right back. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, though, really.
He was decent in the Euros.
But it's only his first two games or whatever he's played. Gofran, I think his player was never be good. I don't really understand it, but.
Yeah, he's.
He's one of those strikers that doesn't really score very many goals.
And that's not really what they need.
They pretty much need a striker who's going to score a lot of goals.
Yeah, they need...
Well, I think everyone needs that.
They particularly need it because they've got someone like Cissé. They've got someone like Cissé who, for me, isn't going to be he doesn't look like he's going to be a 20, 30 goal a season man.
Gary Hooper down.
Don't do that. It's not very far, actually.
Yeah, he could probably play for both teams.
I mean, I thought it'd be all right. If he
just played Champions
League. We just said Coloccini can't do that.
Just
because we're hypocritical doesn't mean we're wrong, all right?
It's only down the road, though. I mean, and he could just play the Champions League game.
Down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we only need him for the Champions League games anyway. It was so annoying when, because there was all this talk of him leaving, and I was like, we might have... Like, if he definitely left, we probably do have some replacements. And then in a week, he scored 4 goals. I was like, we can't replace this guy. So same with Wanyama. Wanyama was watched by Sir Alex Ferguson himself the other day. Oh. And I was like, God, I hope he does terrible. I scored. Fantastic. Thanks for that.
He sees there's the... Oh, my God. Who's he even play for?
Who?
Celtic.
No, I mean, what's his national team?
He's Kenyan.
They're not in the African race. I was just thinking, you're not going to lose because it'd be a huge loss. Swansea beat Stoke 3-1 as well, which was a pretty impressive result for Swansea. I mean, Stoke didn't look up for the game. Happens with Stoke every now and again. They just go to matches and they just don't look up for it. But I think that was poignant moment of the whole thing was Michu signed a contract extension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty poignant, but also Angel Rangel apparently delivering food to the homeless.
Yeah,
when the snow was down, which sounded pretty nice. And he also had a good game, so.
But the important thing now with Swansea is that they're into the League Cup final.
Yeah.
That they beat Chelsea. Now, the match itself that was on the other night wasn't entertaining.
Nothing happened. And it was one.
Yeah.
There was one
large incident.
We have to talk about it. Is Eden Hazard kicking the ball boy, which I'm sure you know.
Again, I know everyone said this, but ball boy.
He was a man.
Yeah, he looked quite old, and he was very much in the wrong as well. I'm not defending.
I mean, he had a walking stick.
He's an Eden Hazard bet up a pensioner, I heard.
But stole his wallet. I mean, okay, look, we've
yeah, I'm not defending the ball. I'm not defending
the ball boy. Hazard gets it, and smothers. Hazard comes over, tries to get the ball fairly. The ball boy kind of jumps on it, so Hazard tries to get it and then kicks it from under him. I mean, even if he doesn't. No, I don't think he kicks him, but he does kick the ball into him, I think.
He did kind of kick him. Yeah. Either way, you swing a foot at it.
You don't do it.
Yeah.
No, like, it gives off an arrogant, rich footballer vibe, which you try and avoid when you're on the pitch at least. Mm. At least when you're off, you can do whatever you want. But it was like, you're not going to get away with doing that with anyone. You know, kicking anything, you're going to get in trouble, like, really, like.
Surprising,
know, especially a supposed kid on the ground.
It is a bit surprising he got sent off, though, do you not think? I mean, sometimes the referees just go, yeah, right, carry on, let's get on with it. I mean, I know it's under the umbrella of violent conduct, but it's kind of it's weird because he's not abusing another player. I know you can't do what he did, but it's weird. I thought, you know, especially with the game, the referee just said, no, just play on, let's just get it.
Strange enough, though, like, the time, I know it was already, Cantona had already been sent off when he kicked the fan, and it was a far worse kick, but it's still kicking someone outside of the game, which is... should possibly carry like an extra lengthy
ban.
Now I know this, like, it's similar, like the ball boy isn't wrong, the fan in the crowd was in the wrong that day.
Do you think
deserved to be kicked majorly?
I mean, I probably would, because
what I'm saying, I probably, in keeping with these rules, would probably say yes, Hazard should probably get a five, 6-game ban.
Interesting. Actually, I haven't heard that really talked about.
Being investigated, as far as I know.
Yeah.
That's it. Deservedly so, I suppose. But I mean, you have to look and say, you know, this never would have happened if the ball boy didn't do that.
Yeah, but
it's not the way to react either way.
Does that mean if
a player, when there are, say, some players are arguing about a free kick or whatever, and one of them picks up the ball, if you went up and kicked that player, you'd be sent off.
Yeah, okay, fair.
So going up and kicking the ball boy, like wasting time.
You could say, she's sure it never would have happened if that player didn't kick it out of play anyway. So he's to blame as much as Hazard.
Send all of them off.
It's not my fault the club offered me a contract and called me to play today.
You see, Ashley Williams got very annoyed about it. He ran straight at it. I think he likes kicking the ball at people's heads. So he's like, this is how you do it. And he lobs the ball off the ball boy's head.
I saw a headline today on, I can't remember what website it was, and it said, like, Ashley Williams, and like a quote, I saw him kick him. I was like, well, yeah.
We all did. So did I.
That's not a headline. I don't care if he saw a Guardian Inside special,
like Gareth Bale's Inter.
Oh, yeah. I think he was, I think it was because Ashley Williams is a Swansea captain that he, you know, reacted so strongly to. I know Lampard, I think, was over then with the player, or the ball boy, sorry, afterwards as well. And, you know, kind of, you know, consoling him, I suppose. But he was kind of brought off. Like,
it just gives off a very bad vibe for Hazard.
Football in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chelsea are a disgraceful club for this kind of stuff at the moment. Think of what they've been through, like, PR-wise in the last five to six months.
This shambles.
Yeah. Well, even the last two years.
Yeah, say a year, since last season.
You had the whole John Terry and Wayne Bridge thing. You've had the John Terry racist thing.
John Terry kicked Sanchez, then claimed that he didn't kick him.
A lot of teams centre around John Terry.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a pattern here.
There was the incident with Mark Clattenburg earlier this season. Yeah. And this. It's just the PR is terrible. I know people talk about with Liverpool where with the Suarez thing, the PR was terrible. I mean, Chelsea are doing a worse job, but there's just nobody likes them. We all hate Chelsea.
Suarez will be there soon and just. A nice little focus of hatred.
Now, look, the important thing is that Bradford have reached the final as well.
I'm delighted for them.
Big Jim Hansen got the goal at Waterford. Even though his name's James Jimmy. Hansen and Mark Tyler Kepper.
Jim Henson.
Mark Tyler Kepper was Big Jim Hansen after he scored the goal. Not before he scored, though. It was just James Hansen doubled it.
But when he scored, it's like when Mario gets a mushroom. He becomes big Jim Hansen after he scores. And this is fire, Jim Hansen.
Now he's flying.
He's flying Jim Hansen.
Oh, and he's on the back of a small dinosaur.
I don't know what to call him.
It's all gone mad.
But, I think I've taken some bad shrooms.
I have to say...
Martin Tyler on shrooms. Oh, Bradford built it up 4-3, and it's
so Bradford Swansea final.
You're very excited about this.
It's a League 2 team.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I'm so excited. Spa League 2 team.
I think that might be the first time. What was it since? Is it their history or the first time in? It might be in the English league since 1911 that a fourth tier.
No,
side
it's they haven't. Bradford haven't won anything since 1911. I think the last
fourth
time
tier is 1930.
I'm not sure. I know it was 1960 something. They said that I can't remember.
Rochdale.
Rochdale was the last team. I'm not sure if they were League 2 or League 1 at the time.
Yeah,
sure.
They were fourth tier.
Would have been different.
Anyway,
yeah, fourth tier. Would have been a different structure.
It's a fantastic achievement. Though. Yeah. I mean, looking at the chair. Actually, it wasn't the chairman, because the chairman's a lot uglier. It was, there's actually two things to talk about here. Yes, he is uglier. It was. I think it was the director of football talking about how much it's worth to the club.
Yeah,
and it'll certainly help them. Yeah, it'll help running costs for like the next year or two, like majorly, like huge revenue for that. And also, I'm not sure if you saw the interview with the chairman. He reminds me a bit of you know that guy in Sweeney Todd, the new Sweeney Todd, and he's in the Harry Potter movies and he's really
Alan Rickman.
No, the other guy, doesn't matter. You'll know who I'm talking about anyway. Really
important
ugly guy.
Stuff here, important
Harry
stuff.
Potter fans will know who I'm talking about. He was the mouse. He was Scabbers. It turned out he was Scabbers. Spoiler alert.
Don't know.
Anyway.
Who cares? Get on with your point.
Yes, he looks like him. And he talked about Bradford have been basically treated to a day in Vegas. Like a weekend in Vegas.
He said,
and they didn't know. And he thought the manager told them. So imagine how suave he felt. His team in the final, strutting in there and being like, just kind of. He obviously didn't tell them before. And then he's dropping it. This would be good to celebrate when we're in Vegas. What? Oh yeah, I'm bringing everyone to Vegas. Like, yeah.
Well, they won the match tonight.
Talking about keeping celebrations to a minimum.
He's doing the interview on Sky the next day.
We've lost the $3 million in revenue. We put it all on black. Damn it.
That's why they're going gambling all the club's money away. You just see him turn up with a big suitcase full of money. Or a sack full of money.
Just him showing up.
On
the day of the final, just going, yeah, we had to sell the club. Something about a game of 21 or something.
Financial irregularities.
Game of blackjack.
Maybe they
could
start card counting.
Big Jim Henson, get on it. Or Jim Hansen. Not Jim Henson. Jim Henson, you stick to the Muppets.
Yeah. Lambert for the sack?
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe.
Randy Lerner has said he'll stick by him. But not give him any money to spend.
Mm-hmm. It was funny seeing Lambert's interview after, in which he said, "This is horrendously embarrassing, but I'm not quitting." It's like, okay, well.
I don't think I like Paul Lambert.
I don't dislike Paul Lambert. I mean, we weren't giving him any stick last year. I just think it's a terrible side. It's a turgid Villa side. I mean, you look at that squad all the way through. It's awful. Mm. It's just difficult to watch. You know?
I don't really see what. Sacking him and bringing in someone else with the same team and no funds. Like, what are you going to get out of it?
You can argue that he's probably the best manager to bring a team full of young players who want to be, very young team. But at the same time, some of the signings have been awful as well. Like, he's brought in more of these players. Like, stop buying bad players.
We've talked about that kind of thing as well. And one thing he said, they drew at West Brom, in the derby there the other day, and commented on how inexperience lost them those 3 points. And I don't think it's down to inexperience. I think if you get bad experienced players, they're going to be bad as well.
They threw away 2-goal lead.
Yeah, I don't think that comes down to experience. These lads have played football like their whole lives. They know not to give away 2 goals. I think it comes down to them being weak and poor generally. There was Odin Wingie went past Bannon at one stage,
and Barry Bannon would be one of the more senior players.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. But it was when he. It wasn't
fault, but.
Yeah, there was
sets
no.
That's quite a lot, actually.
Yeah. There was no real.
That's really sums them up.
No real tackle gone in. It was like. Just kind of glided past him. It's not like Odin Wingie was running that pace. This is cutting in from the right side onto the left.
Yeah.
Barron is inside him. Bannon is inside of him, and just ends up behind him somehow. It's like, how has this happened? I mean, you're not staying with him. You're not making a tackle. You're just there, gliding around the place.
And we made this, we talked about this before, me and you, the experience factor. I was like, yeah, okay, you need players with experience, but slowly but surely, these players that he has now, and you might say, oh, it's great, in 3 years time, did all of experience. The experience they have is losing. And what good is negative experience to bring?
This is where Hansen should come in and go, you can't win anything with kids.
Jim Hansen? Like, well, big Jim Hansen?
No, small Alan Hansen.
You can't win anything with kids, eh? And then
I don't think there's any chance of that.
Loughton playing the Beckham role. Barry Bannon playing the
Keane
role.
Benteke just being pretty damn good, to be honest.
Yeah, his goal against West Brom was beautiful.
Phenomenal goal.
Lovely goal. Lovely tournament volley. And the way he kind of shimmied to the left and then went to the right, it was...
Yeah.
Good. It was everything was good about it. I enjoyed.
They
it.
Measured that match today. It was fast. I don't know how many miles per hour.
69 was it?
Or was that kilometers per hour?
No, it was miles per hour.
No,
what are you
miles per hour?
Was it liters? Miles per hour on the BBC now?
Was it liters?
Liters per hour. Yeah.
Liters per hour.
Was it not gallons? Gallons. Yeah. Anyway, look, we'll go from Bradford reaching the League Cup final, which is just bizarre, to Barcelona losing, which is also quite bizarre. They lost 3-2 to Sociedad at the weekend, and their 90th minute goal was, what's his name? Agarici.
Well, you tried. Not easy being host, is it?
No.
I mean, you're finding this out like what,
a year and a half into
it was a
reign of 40, terror
40 podcasts in. He punched the table there, in case
I didn't actually punch it. I went and
you didn't actually punch it.
This is not what we should be talking about.
Barcelona lost which just doesn't happen. Real Madrid won 5-0, was it, something like that,
and
something silly. Yeah,
and the entire race is back on. They're only 11 points behind.
Am I wrong in saying Nick Casillas broke a finger?
You might be.
No, he did. He broke his finger in the game, and looking like a month, he's going to be out missing for.
Which means he might miss the United game in the Champions League, which would be very important. I mean, like, this is going to be, that could make or break Madrid season, because they really want to win the Champions League.
And so, also, potentially, if it's too bad, I don't know how long the injury, or how long he'd be out for, but also possibly the semi-final, which was just confirmed couple of minutes ago when Barcelona won.
Barcelona beat Malaga.
There's two El Clásicos, or is it even two legs in the semi-final as well?
Yeah,
I think it is. So that's like probably three El Clásicos.
We're gonna be sick of El Clásicos, are we?
I didn't know you had a metatarsal in your hand as well. Do you have a metatarsal everywhere? Because he fractured some,
I think it's
metatarsal thing, and basically was wanting in his hand.
I'll take off my shoes later.
Yeah, but like, there's metatarsals all over the place. It seems.
There was ones there, I think.
Oh, okay. Tonight we're going to explain.
You know
that
what a metatarsal is. That's our podcast. Madrid won 5-0, I think, against Valencia. So, you know, they could still catch Barca.
Mm.
Well, the Valencia game is in the cup.
Was that the cup? Was that the league? Sorry. Oh, well, they probably won the league, anyway. They won the cup as well, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's them true in the cup. Barcelona, as we've just seen, have gone through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good match. Good match for
one. Left it just before the end there.
But we knew Barca had won.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what was it? 3 goals that Malaga needed?
We weren't sure.
There were away goals.
We were promised six goals. Yeah.
We were promised 4-2. So,
it was right.
Armstrong made some wild promises.
Wild promise that actually came true.
He also made a few. A barrage.
Put your cards in the pan.
Yeah. A barrage of terrible points. Yeah, all cards are on the pot, are in the pot now. It's like, what are you talking about?
On the pot. If
the referee had another referee would have seen that from a different vision of
mind. It's like, from a different opinion. Yeah. So it's like, well, you don't see through them. What are you talking about?
Is this Villanova's first defeat as Barcelona manager?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
True. Celtic beat them.
Yeah. First league defeat, though, yeah.
Yeah, first league defeat. Which is quite impressive that their first league defeat is the middle of January.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that? 18, 19 games into the season, probably?
I think it's around there, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. They probably, you know, to do away with all those other teams, to lose one out of it. It's just, that's
against
incredible.
Us, you know,
I mean, I don't know if it's ever been done if somebody's gone to seasonal beating over there, but I mean, if anything's going to do it, it's going to be them.
Yeah.
Considering,
Real can't do it now.
Yeah, Real can't
well,
do it.
Well, I mean, Barca can't do it either, but, you know.
Real, Barca just looked like they could have done it. It would have been amazing to see, because that would have been the next step in perfection.
Yeah.
To just, like, when Arsenal did it, you know, to just go to season unbeaten and see, you know. But obviously, they'll be looking to Champions League and the Copa del Rey as well.
Yeah.
Which they'll be looking to win. But it'd be interesting, though, because Madrid, there's talk of a mutiny. Would that be the right word? With Ramos and Casillas. Talking to
a couple of
the senior players saying they want Mourinho out, saying it's us or him.
Yeah, basically in June, isn't it June? Whatever.
Summer.
It's us or him.
Which it's more likely going to be Mourinho gone, I think.
Yeah,
there's no way I can see him staying.
I think it's a stupid thing to say, but it's almost well timed because it doesn't look like he's going to stay anyway.
Yeah.
So I think talking about it's player almost power,
like last few years when Villas-Boas and stuff like that got the sack. This is if they can overhaul Mourinho.
I don't think it's going to be the case.
I know. I got a both of you said it. I know what you mean. I don't think it looked like it. I don't think it will ultimately end up like that. But I mean, it's going to look tremendously like
that's what
a large amount of
player. Well, they were sneaking out against them. Last season when he won the league, you know, I didn't see them speaking out. I know they did say it, like, I mean, but when they did actually win the league in the end, I don't remember them coming out afterwards saying, oh well, we don't know.
Ramos dropped the trophy under a bus, so he's probably just
that was
in protest.
That was a couple of the season before. Ah, good guy though. And so Martin Stecklenberg, he dropped the Dutch trophy.
Yeah, he did a bit of that. I love when you hear the goalkeepers did it.
Yeah, because
years dropped one as well. The Champions League.
Didn't Leon Barros drop the Champions League?
He just dropped it. He didn't actually.
He just started.
Didn't draw under anything that was moving.
Took out a hammer and started hitting it.
Tried to carve his name into it. Liverpool FC. Barros FC.
But ultimately. Florentino Perez, Real Madrid present, basically denied those.
He denied that it happened at the time when it was specified.
Like a certain say at a lunchtime thing, and it was like no, apparently it didn't happen there. But that's what Sky correspondent Gwynem Balague was saying that this guy, the same name as the last time as well. he just said. Quite likely that it still happened, just not at this exact time. Pretty much is the gist you're getting from
I think he's leaving the other season.
He was live tweeting it. Follow Gwynem Balague.
He's good as well.
Deck Maron. That Deck Maron doesn't keep you up to date with that kind of stuff though.
But you can
get our 12 man podcast for that.
Our 12 man podcast, yeah. They'll keep you updated. They're good guys.
Break the quality. All the news they will. At least to me.
At least one person saw it. he's going to leave either way, I think, because if they win the Champions League, he'll leave on a high. But if Casillas is going to miss the not even the quarterfinals, the last 16 match against Manchester United, it's going to be
huge. Certainly a big deal for it, anyway.
Because he's such an important player in that team. Yeah. I mean, I know he's been really dropped him. In inverted commas, you know, for that match, it was just publicity thing, really. And they brought in Dan. You want Casillas for that game. You want to play Casillas against Manchester United because, you know, I know Madrid have all this firepower, but you know, if Van Persie gets into a position twice, he scores two goals, and you know, for United, hang on, it should be interesting. But we'll talk about more of that when we get a little bit closer. Mm. Paul Pogba scored two wonderful goals.
For United. I haven't seen them yet. I'm dying to see them.
We might stick them up later if you're lucky. Don't look at them now.
If you're good.
If you're good, we'll stick to a player. Yeah, check them out if you can. They're absolutely wonderful goals. And Juventus, I think, is still top of the table. They're doing a really good job at the moment. They beat Udinese 4-0. I mean, they actually look like they've been reinventing themselves as a team over the last... Well, when were they relegated? 7 years ago? 2006.
They've really reinvented themselves as a team.
They've gone on to win. They like come back and bounce back as a proper team. They're one of the only teams that actually pulls in any kind of money from their stadium.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of the, because they own the stadium, a lot of teams in Italy rent their stadiums after Italian stadiums were built. They rent them from the council or whoever owns them. But they lose a lot of money, and apparently there's not a lot of fans go to those matches. And they seem to
every single time you watch.
There's a large amount of problems contributing to that, but largely match fixing and ultras trouble.
Well, the ultras, a lot of trouble with them. It's
almost a different thing to go to a match in Italy where you say, like, you can't just go, I should pop over to the match. Yeah, just go sit there for an hour and a half, watch the match, and then Scranton. You can't really do that there.
You have to go meet the Don.
Yeah.
He grants you one wish on the day of his daughter's wedding.
There's a lot of, you know,
there's a lot of daughters. 38 per season.
A fan was stabbed last year, wasn't already year before, and there's a lot of logistics. A policeman
was killed, two or three years ago, you need to get a
passport, like they call it like a fan's passport, to buy tickets to away games over there. It's very difficult to get a ticket to an away game, and a lot of fans don't bother travelling down, because, you know, a lot of them would be quite, they wouldn't be very rich, you know, they wouldn't be able to afford that, because Italy's a very big country, and you're travelling up and down, you know, to get to those matches would be quite difficult. I don't think it has the same culture as English football does. I mean, even the Championship and League 1 and League 2, they're selling out their stadiums. And okay, you're not getting fans travelling across the country, but they're still selling out.
Well, no, a lot of Championship games haven't.
Well, I mean, okay, Middlesbrough, some of the big teams that... Middlesbrough are the dominant chiefs, but they're saying it's always there. But there are a lot of teams, though, that...
You'd get a good few, like, people who'd be at the majority of the games. Most of the teams would sell out their stadium a couple of times.
Yeah, but Middlesbrough, even in the Premiership, they wouldn't. There would be times when they didn't sell out. I mean, there are teams that will always have that problem. Reading sometimes have that problem with not selling, because I know they're in the Premiership, but it's a rugby town. You know, when they're in the Championship, they don't sell it out. But, you know, Cardiff do, Blackpool do, a few of the other teams, like Nottingham Forest seem to, and they have a pretty big stadium. I mean, Leeds, okay, they don't, because they have a massive stadium, but the majority of those seats are taken up. Like, you know, they have a 50,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, to sell 30,000 tickets would be amazing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I think they do a good job, the Championship doesn't, compared to places like Italy, where it just isn't the same culture, obviously. But anyway, I think, you know, there you are now. Better than Canio, actually, talk about Italy. He bought Swindon fans pizza during the week.
Oh, I did hear that, because they helped to clear off all the snow.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Well, only in League One. That should be like some sort of little opening team tune to anything he does. But he's an unusual character.
He is, yeah.
Did I hear Swindon were in financial trouble as well the other day? Which is maybe why they couldn't pay someone to
spend all their money on pizza.
And it's not as like Mama used to make. No, Paolo, just get some 4-star down the road.
No, Paolo,
you Italian stereotype.
This is not sitting at home time. This is League One. League One.
Oh, briefly on to the African Cup of Nations, where it's less mad.
We haven't announced our teams online yet, so we better do it now.
We better do it now. I've picked Cape Verde.
Mm. Bafana, I've picked South Africa.
And Burkina Faso for a bit of room.
That's a team, by the way.
South Africa are the hosts, and they probably just had a pretty good chance to win there. Cape Verde are in the same group, so they've already played each other. It was nil-all draw.
Yeah. Yes!
First ever game for Cape Verde in the African Cup of Nations.
The only reason they qualified is because they only played 2 qualifiers, pretty much. So they only had to play 4 games to get through.
One of them was against Scotland for some reason. If you listened to our podcast last week,
if you didn't, tough. But you can still get it online.
Call back. Go back and check it out.
So we picked our teams, and we'll see where they go. South Africa are top of that group, aren't they? Because they're
4 points.
4 points, I think. Cape Verde have 2, don't they?
Yeah,
it's all going down in that group. Morocco have 2 as well. So, I mean, how are Burkina Faso doing, eh? 1 point.
One point from one game. All right, they're playing. Are they
joint
top?
They'll be playing.
Joint bottom, but joint top.
Be tomorrow,
they should be on tomorrow.
Friday. They'll be on Friday.
Which is tomorrow,
but you never know when people are listening.
Yeah, that's true. It is actually past midnight now, so it's...
So it could be yesterday. So the team's probably played.
So they're playing tomorrow.
But if you're listening next week, then Burkina Faso might actually be playing again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Anyway, your brain hurts and it's late, so let's leave it at that. Thank you, Declan Marr.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth Hogan.
Thank you.
And thank you for myself, Shane King. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Oh yeah. Well, I can probably eliminate most women. Not all women.
Would say that's about roughly half, so you'd be down to about 8.
I'll fucking eliminate.
We have it all on tape now.
Incriminating evidence. Yeah,
tape. Because we're using cassette. That's how we roll.
Can you feel it? That was
in the pub, wasn't it, actually?
Fixing me old Gary Pallister there.
got a bit smushed.
It
is a bit like Gary Pallister, because
Gary
Pallister,
everybody shut up, it's an end of the fucking night.
After 20 minutes into a game, Gary Pallister always got sweaty and red, so
are you touching yourself over?
I was fixing me all
fixing your junk.
Be Gary Pallister.
Bad cocky rhyme is that.
Chewable.